Good morning. Welcome to Victory, and thank you for giving me the privilege of coming into your living room this morning and sharing the Word of God with you. Today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 8 and continuing our study on the foundations of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we look at Your Word today, we ask for Your guidance. Speak to us, Lord, through Your words, and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. For each one that is sitting in their home listening and watching this message today, Lord, we lift them all up to You. You knowing the specific individual needs of their life, I pray that this morning You will move in their hearts in a mighty way. First and foremost, Lord, I pray that there will be lost souls saved from this message today. I pray that the saved will realize Your blessings and strive to draw near to You and to enjoy a closer walk with You in their faith, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You will continue to bless the Victory family. And that, Lord, one day soon we'll be able to meet as a church body again. I pray, Lord, that You will stay this illness, Lord, that is sweeping the world. I pray that You will stop it and that You'll take it away. But Lord, most of all, I pray that Your will be done. And I know that nothing happens by accident. We're here for a reason. And so help us, Lord, to gain all the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding that we should gain from being in the circumstance that we currently are. Lord, I pray most of all for revival for the church. That, Lord, there will be a renewed zeal, a renewed desire, a renewed closeness, Lord, of Your people as they draw near to You. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We begin today and we take a look at the word faith just to remind you what we're talking about. When we use that word faith, it is to have a strong confidence, a strong reliance or dependence upon God. And with each passing day, the child of God should grow stronger in their faith, and their confidence in the God in whom they placed their faith should also grow more solid. And the only way that that confidence is going to grow, I hate to tell you this, but the only way your faith and your confidence in God is going to grow is when you're put in circumstances that are beyond your control. Those times that you feel threatened, those times that you're out of your comfort zone, those times when you don't have anywhere else to turn except God, that's the time that God has given you to grow your faith. And that's what happened in the life of Abraham. You know, we look at Abraham as this great man of faith who his faith was so strong that he offered his son, his only son, as a sacrifice. But let me tell you, Abraham did not start out that way. He spent years. Matter of fact, I think something like 25 years growing in his faith to bring him to that point where he absolutely, completely trusted God enough that he would do anything that God told him to do, even if it was to sacrifice his son. And today, that's what I want to challenge you with. I want you, you know, where you are right now, the circumstances that you're facing, to be nothing more than an opportunity to grow your faith. And the first thing I want to share with you is that your faith, the growth of your faith, requires obedience. If you look here, we're speaking of Abraham. You go back to the book of Genesis and you read about Abraham. I want to call your attention to God's promises to Abraham. It says, I will make you, or God said, I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I don't know about you, but anyone in their right mind at this point is going to say, yes, Lord, bring it on. Bless me. I want to be great. I want to be blessed. I want to bless everybody else. But here's the thing. Seldom will God open the windows of heaven and shower you with blessings requiring no effort on your part. Just doesn't happen. See, most of us approach God with the attitude of give me, give me, give me. And God is not in the give me business. He's in the grow me business. And He was in the same business in dealing with Abraham. So when God made these promises to Abraham, He didn't just say, sit there and do nothing and I'm going to do everything. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do. Abraham was required to be obedient. God said, get out of your own country. Leave your homeland. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. Go to the land that I will show you. And so by leaving his homeland, he's leaving everything behind that he would have been comfortable with. He's getting out of his comfort zone. And not only is he leaving everything he's comfortable with, he doesn't even know where he's going. God said, you leave and I'll show you where you're going along the way. So you talk about, I mean, this is a big step of obedience. Stepping out of everything that you know, the only thing you know, God said, go, I'm going, and he's going to show me in his good time when he wants me to see. That takes faith. But do you see what's happening? God took him away from everything that he could rely on, everything he was comfortable with, and God gave him only enough information to get started. Everything about this from the beginning in the story of Abraham, everything about it, God's just saying, trust me. Learn to trust me. I've got this. I'm going to bless you, but learn to trust me. Everything says, Abraham, time to grow your faith. Again, I'm reminded of Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You know, if you never see trouble, you'll never realize what a refuge that God can be. And the deliverance that he can bring. Right now, people are so afraid. And there's such a fear in our society today because of everything that's going on. And the reason is, as Americans, we have learned to depend on the wrong things. We look at the health issues that are going on with the COVID-19 virus, and people are wearing masks and gloves, and we're isolating ourselves, and all that's fine. But you know, we've come to a point as a people that we have grown a dependence upon the government, and we think it's the government's job to take care of us until we get in a situation like this, and the government says, I can't do it. I can't keep you from getting sick. We think it's doctors' jobs And we have made medical advances that are just unbelievable. But I'm still reminded in the face of this disease that doctors are still human. And they'll still come to the point that they'll look at you and say, I can't do anything for you. You know what we're learning? Doctors are human. The government can't keep you from everything. What we're learning is to depend upon God. And that's what we need to learn. We can social distance ourselves, wear masks, gloves, wash our hands, provide ventilators in the hospital, and use the doctors to their fullest extent, but they are still not God. And if we want this plague to be stopped, then it's time for God's people to get on our knees and call out to God and pray for this plague to be stayed. See, that's where faith comes in. Yes, our government can't stop it. Our doctors can't stop it. But the God of the universe can. Listen, you may be facing some very difficult times right now. But don't sit there and wallow in self-pity and say, woe is me, because this is not an opportunity for you to wallow in self-pity. It is an opportunity for you to grow your faith that no matter what happens, you are going to say, my God is in control and I trust in Him. You're not here by accident. God has put you into this position to grow your faith. Second thing I want you to know, faith is strengthened by your vision for the future. It says in the text that by faith Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Do you know when Abraham got to the promised land, he did not have a house to live in. He lived in a tent. You say, well, Brother Doug, that's because he was a nomad. He was a keeper of sheep, and they would move their sheep around. That's what he was, but that wasn't the reason he didn't have a home. The reason he did not have a home is because he was waiting for something much, much better. As a matter of fact, verse 10 says he was waiting for the city which has foundation, whose builder was God. Now, here's the cool factor. We look at old Abraham as spending his life chasing the promise of God and waiting on that promised son, his son Isaac, and waiting to be the father of a great nation. But I want to tell you, that's a narrow vision of Abraham's life. He was not living for all those promises that he would receive on this earth. He was living for the day when he would see the new Jerusalem in eternity. Really? Well, yeah. He's waiting, verse 10, he's waiting for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He's talking about Revelation 21, where that speaks of that new Jerusalem. And John writing there, he says, and he carried me away in spirit, a great and high mountain, and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear and crystal. And you go on and you read about gates of pearls and the 12 foundations representing the apostles, and the 12 gates representing the 12 tribes. And Abraham, you see, we think of these Old Testament saints, they didn't have a clue about what's coming. Oh, yes, they did. Not only did Abraham have a clue, that's what he was living for. Not this life, but the life that was to come. See, that's what I want to challenge you with today. You can't get so wrapped up in today that you cannot see tomorrow. That's the point of Abraham here. I mean, he did not live for what he could gain in this present world. You see, that's the reason for all the fear today. We get so wrapped up in what we are experiencing in the here and now that it's no wonder we can't see what we're going to experience in the hereafter. Oh, we want good health, fine cars, good careers, great families, fine homes. And we get to looking at those things so much that when one of those things doesn't happen, we're devastated. And it's all because all we see is the here and now. Oh, listen, my friends. We've got to see the great by and by. Because there's going to be days that the here and now is so absolutely disappointing that it's depressing. There's going to be days that we don't accomplish those things on this earth that we want that we want to accomplish. But I want to tell you, there is one thing that you will never lose, and that is your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been sealed by the Spirit. The place in heaven has been prepared for you that is eternal in the heavens, that even Satan himself can't take away your inheritance. There, you always have to keep inside, I'm not living for the here and now. I'm living for the hereafter. Oh, I look at when I need to be encouraged, I go over to the book of Revelation. You say, Revelation, man, that's a tough book of judgment. Yeah, but there are some encouraging things in there for those that are saved. You read in Revelation chapter 5, I love good worship. I love good worship. As a matter of fact, you know, that's one of the things I really miss about us meeting together. I love to hear voices as they united, joined together to praise God. And I want to read you a worship service that's going to happen in heaven in Revelation chapter 5, something you've got to look forward to. That even if we never met again, I'm still fired up because one of these days I'm going to see this service. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 says, Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb of God, each having a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Can you imagine that day in heaven when you join with 10,000s of angels and we lift up our voice together praising God, saying, Worthy is the Lamb. One of these days, I want you to know, as children of God, we have a future. I don't know what tomorrow holds on this earth, but I know who holds eternity after this earth has passed. Oh, my friends, it's just things like that that gives our faith life, that strengthens our heart, that fires up the soul. It's things like that that reminds us, you know, I don't know how everything's going to turn out, but I do know how everything's going to end. Going to end in heaven. Verse 13 said, These all died not having received the promises, but they seen them afar off and were assured of them. He's talking about Abraham and Sarah, and it says they embraced or they welcomed those promises. They confessed they were strangers and pilgrims. Listen, faith says this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Is it going to get better? Yes, it's going to get better. At times I'm reminded, you know, we're holding on to this world just a little bit too tight. Sure, I want a good life. I don't want a tragedy to strike my family. But I do know that if life gets tough, I do have hope for the future. Oh, we're afraid today. People are afraid of the COVID-19. We're afraid of the economic collapse. I want you to understand, there's nothing that Satan can do to you to take away the things that really matter if you're a child of God. Satan may say today, I'll take your money, watch the stock market crash. What do you say? Say the words of Job in chapter 1, Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan says, I'll take your health. What do you say? 2 Corinthians 5:11. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You see, I just want to remind you today to strengthen your faith by realizing Satan can't take away what really matters. You've been sealed by the Spirit of God as a child of God. Verse 14, I love that we read in the text. It said, for those who say such things, for those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Was the such things that we're pilgrims, we're passing through. We're seeking a homeland. That word homeland literally means the land of my Father. Oh, there's a lot of joy in this life. I love my family. I love my wife. I love our church. I love our church members. But I'm reminded today, and I'm encouraged today, that I'm passing through. This life is not all there is. I'm looking for a homeland, the land of my Father, where Jesus said He goes to prepare a place for me. And if He goes to prepare a place for me, He'll come again to receive me to Himself, that where He is, I will be there also. One of these days, my friends, I'm going to see my God. One of these days, I'm going to see my Jesus and stand in His presence. And I'm going to join in that great worship service in heaven like none I've never seen before. My encouragement to you today is, don't hold on so tight here that you lose sight of the great future that's ahead of you as a child of God. You've got to understand, though, your future is only bright if you're a child of God. You've got to know where you're going, my friends. There's one of two places that you can spend eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. There's no in between. There is nothing that you can go to and there's nothing else. There's heaven and there's hell. And the Bible says that there is one way to heaven. And that one way is through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth and He lived a sinless life. And He went to the cross of Calvary for you. He endured crucifixion. He endured the nails. He endured the crown of thorns. He endured the mocking, the suffering, and the shame to take the penalty for your sin, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you called upon Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, do that today. Let's make up your mind where you want to go. You say, well, Brother Doug, I've thought about it, but I want to today. You know, one of these days I will. Oh, listen. God's given you today. You don't know what holds tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if you'll ever have another chance. Take care of it today. Brother Doug, you don't understand. I have things in my life that I need to get right before I come to God. No, you come to God and let God get the other things right. I've never met a person that cleaned up their life and then came to God. They come to God first. And God supplies the power and the strength to clean up that life. Listen, I'm going to heaven. The reason I'm going to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me so that I could have eternal life. Are you going to heaven? Please, I beg you, as we have a prayer, Will you please call upon Jesus, asking forgiveness of sin, asking Him to save you, confessing that you know He died for your sins and rose from the grave, and asking, Jesus, save me. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, oh, we come to Your throne of grace with thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord, for the future of Your children. Yes, sometimes on this earth we feel threatened. We feel uncomfortable. Even discouraged. But Lord, we are reminded the future is bright for the believer. But Lord, we're also reminded that the future's bleak for the unbeliever. So I pray now that You will convict of sin. That You will help them to realize their need of a Savior. And You will cause them to turn to You, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of everlasting life. Lord, we pray Your will be done in each life that is viewing this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.